Hello everyone, welcome along and welcome back to Newcastle Fans TV on this trying afternoon, shall we say, after another weekend ruined by our beloved football team. I'm joined by Adam and Liam, who once again is looking resplendent, has even stood up to give us a flash of his dressing game, and also Carl as well, who's been an absolute trooper doing the watch along and joined me for scoring the players along with Johnny. I suppose this is now our therapy session where we can get it all off our chest. But let's start at the very top and have a look at the teams today. And I will come to Liam first. What did you make of Steve Bruce's Newcastle United lineup this afternoon?
It wasn't a bad team, but I just don't understand why Joe Linton started up top by himself. We know he kind of play as a lone striker, so from the offset, I thought we were just going to just lose the ball and not be able to pass the ball about. It's just a big waste of time, really. But, like, what I didn't understand about playing long ball football and we had Andy Carroll on the bench.
Would you have started Carroll ahead of Joe Linton then?
I would have potentially started on the Geller. Maybe have dropped Murphy.
Interesting.
Because I don't think there's any point of joining.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Adam, no Hendrick today. And Isaac Hayden was recalled. How hopeful were you when you saw the team?
Not very, to be honest. It was a no-brainer. There's no way he could have justified starting Hendrick over Hayden after the couple of weeks Hendrick's had. So that was a change he had to make. You know, you can imagine the reaction if he hadn't. Or bring a Mankiller in, who's been out 4 or 5 games, was an odd decision. I'm not sure if Kraft was on the bench, but Kraft's played more. He's a bit more up to speed with match fitness. Lascelles started ahead of Shaw, which I'll go on to Shaw in the second half. But no, I wasn't very hopeful. I agree, Andy Carroll should have started. It was Rudiger's first game back in a few weeks for Chelsea. Maybe that could have gone in our advantage, but no, I've got no hope in any team this man picks anymore.
Yeah, Carl, I'll come to you now as we look at the Chelsea side today. How worried were you when you saw the two teams?
Yeah, I was definitely worried. You look at just that midfield, Kante and Kovacic together, and then Timo Werner, who's obviously been on fire as well, and Ziyech, an unbelievably good player. And we know Tammy Abraham probably hasn't played that much this season, but we know what he's been capable of in the past, so always worried coming up against that sort of side. That being said, not the Chelsea of yesteryear, so me being a biased Newcastle fan, I always think we've got an opportunity against teams with the players that we've got on paper, but once again, Steve Bruce comes through trumps in terms of his tactics.
Yeah, he certainly did. It kind of seems like it doesn't really matter what team Bruce puts out at the minute, as long as he persists with this formation. And I was going to say tactics, but there is no tactics. There's no plan. There's no backup plan. And any hope we had got killed off relatively early on, Liam, with a Federico Fernandez own goal. Was it a foul for you? Because VAR did obviously take a look at it, but obviously decided against awarding a free kick.
So yeah, I did think it was a foul, like, but I don't think we would have won the game anyways. Even if it went on like 90 minutes, they still would have won. Like, if that goal didn't go in, they would have won. There's like just no attack and threat whatsoever.
So yeah, no, you're right. And the fact is, Adam, should Fernandez just be putting his foot through it and getting rid and putting it out for a throw or a corner?
Yeah, it's not the greatest defending, but he's been our best centre-half all season. As Liam says, it doesn't make much of a difference. If they hadn't went and scored then, they probably would have 5-6 minutes later. I thought all the back five were terrible today. I know it was only 2-0, but I thought they were all over the place. There's not one I could praise today, unfortunately.
So the thing is with Fernandez, that you say there he's been our best centre-back this season. I'm going to disagree with you slightly. I think he's been our best centre-back since Project Restart in the back end of last season. But Carl, the last two or three games now, Fernandez has been really, really poor. And he's made some shocking errors, which has culminated in the own goal today. How worrying is it now that our defence used to look so solid? We've had to go back to five at the back and we're still leaking goals. And it's another goal conceded from a set piece, in effect.
Really worrying. We used to talk about players regressing under Alan Pardew. I've never seen anything like it the way it's been in the last, you know, the last 10 games. It's ridiculous. We've gone from having some, arguably, and I've said this maybe over the last 6 to 8 months, in terms of centre-back partnerships, I honestly feel we've had some of the best centre-halves individually or on paper in the league, really, if it boils down to it. I don't think there's many centre-halves in the Premier League, especially the back end or even last season, that were miles ahead above the centre-halves. We had, you know, Shaw when he was on form, Fernandez when he was on form, Kieran Clark was brilliant at times, but Jamal Lascelles as well, and Florian Lejeune, of course. You know, having those five centre-backs was an unbelievable crop to pick from. And now, they're all shit. Overnight, they're all shit. That's what's happened. How has that happened? And that's really, really worrying. Like, every one of them has been absolutely crap at some point over the last few weeks. So I'm really worried because I don't understand how they can regress so much unless they've just stopped playing football in training. And like Adam said, it's just Monday to Wednesday is fitness, Thursday for tactics, and that's it.
I mean, you devoted a whole day for tactics there, which is very generous.
Yeah, that is generous.
I think that's like the 10 minutes after lunch on a Friday afternoon, isn't it, that they go for tactics. I mean, it's so depressing. Obviously, we will come to Steve Bruce shortly because that's going to take up the main chunk of this, I'd have thought, because the tide is turning now. And one thing I will say is that I think he'll be counting his lucky stars that there are no fans inside that ground this afternoon, because there would have been a fair few, if not all 50,000 black and white fans calling for his head, because it's just the same shit, different day, isn't it, at the moment. Kieran Clark returned. Liam, how happy were you to see this man back today?
Yeah, he's probably, it's hard to say, like, is he actually our best defender? Because he is prone to mistakes, but then he's actually good at set pieces.
He is. But was it the right game to bring him back? And do you think the balance was right in that back three, considering Cher was the one that was dropped and not, say, Jamal Lascelles, who a lot of fans have been saying that he needs taken out of the team?
Has he gone?
I think we've got technical issues again.
He's just very emotional. I mean, he's there in his dressing gown. I mean, look at that look of disconsolation on his face.
Can we just keep him there like that?
I was planning on it, but he looks like he's trying to rejoin as we do. So I'll throw that question out to you, Adam, about Kieran Clark coming back in and Cher being the one dropped instead of, say, Jamal Lascelles.
Yeah, I think it really pissed Shaw off, and I think it showed when Shaw came on the second half because he wasn't interested. That's probably a different discussion we need to have, but Clark's Mr. Reliable. I disagree. It's probably too big of a game for him. He's likely to come in and not do anything wrong. But when we go into it, I'll have a right rant about Shaw. His attitude when he came on stunk. And that was probably because he didn't start the day.
Yeah, there was a few glum faces around, I thought. I thought ASM looked pissed off. Almiron looked pissed off. And like we said in Scoring the Players, Carl, when Miggy's not smiling, you know something's wrong.
Yeah, I think we forgot to mention it in Scoring the Players, but someone pointed it out in the stream and myself and Adam had a look at it. Fernandez refusing the captain's armband. Did you see that?
Did he?
Yeah.
Half time.
So, who went over to give it him? It was Shaw. Yeah, Shaw went over to give Fernandez the armband, and Fernandez just shook his head and looked away, and then Shaw took it over to Kieran Clark and was just like, give it to him. So I forgot to say that in Scoring the Players, because when someone said it, I thought, no, that's not the case. But we were a little bit behind, and I watched it. I thought, fucking hell.
Yeah, there's someone going on behind the scenes. It's not a happy camp now.
I think the wheels are falling off, mate. I do. I think, like we said, I think everyone's got pissed off and that's it.
We kind of don't want it to be a happy camp when you're playing like that, do you?
You don't.
For Federico Fernandez, who we've obviously been a big fan of, all right, he's dipped in form, as we said before, to refuse the armband.
I mean, we might be wrong, but it certainly looked that way after looking at it several times, to be fair.
If that is the case, then that's absolutely disgusting. I hope that's not the case. And it was just a kind of, oh no, Kieran Clarke is supposed to be captain, that's why he said no. But then Fernandez did get the armband in the League Cup game, didn't he?
Because we kind of expected him to be vice captain in terms of centre halves, don't you really? Shelby's not about.
Yeah, that's one to keep an eye on in the press in the coming days if anything does come from that. Because you don't turn down the armband. Simple. Players like that, Fernandez, who's been exceptional since...
we all love him, yeah.
Yeah, he's been exceptional since Project Restart up until the last few games where the whole defence has been utterly pointless. That's shocking. You can't be doing that. And Jamal Lascelles wouldn't have stood for that had he still been on the pitch. What did you make of his 45 minutes? Liam, if you can hear us and you are back, what did you make of Jamal Lascelles' 45 minutes?
He had an all right game. I think there was a one point, I think it was when he first twigged to the back of his knee, doing quite well there. But it's hard to actually assess the defence because they were just all shocking. So you can't really see whether they were good or they weren't good, but they weren't bad essentially. Well, I think it comes down to the tactics. We just cannot keep the ball.
Yeah. That's I did put a tweet out in the first half, as it goes, that was essentially keep the fucking ball, which is something that we haven't been able to do for quite a few games now. And the frustration that we see in the final third, Carl, in particular from ASM, who's throwing his hands up and having a real battle with Reece James there, which the Chelsea right back won comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Where does ASM go from here? Because he just looks so disconsolate and so annoyed at just how poor his performances have been. But is that all down to the way Bruce is playing, how Bruce is setting up the team?
I think a lot of it definitely stems on that, absolutely. And I've said it, I hate the way Bruce is managing the team. I think at some point, though, Maximan has got to be a bit professional about it and look at himself and think, I do need to pick my performances up in some way. But I appreciate that that's going to be really hard in the system that's being played. That being said, he was playing as a winger today. He was kind of playing in his natural position. I thought he was going to start off bright, or he did start off bright, and there was a couple of bits and bobs here and there, but he's just not been good enough. He just hasn't been. He's not been the player that we expect every week. So I think someone mentioned they wouldn't be that frustrated if he was dropped, but he's a bit like Ben Arthur. Can we afford to drop someone like that who's got that bit of magic in them, even if they're doing nothing for 89 minutes and he pops up with a wonder goal? Can we afford to drop players like that? Because that decision that Bruce made to bring him off was a ridiculous one for me personally. So, I mean, majority of it definitely falls on Bruce, but he does also need to have a bit of a look at himself and see what he can do differently.
Adam, where do you stand on this?
We do need more from him, but when you've got a manager like Steve Bruce, he's not getting the best out of any players now. He's not getting the best out of Sean Longstaff. He's not getting the best out of Miggy Almiron. He's not getting the best out of St. Maximum. Our centre-halves are falling to pieces. As someone mentioned before, we used to look at our centre-halves and go, wow, we've got some depth here. I wouldn't mind if any of them got injured because I trust them. Now I don't trust any of them. And it all comes back to one man, and it's the man who's setting them up. He's picking the team. He's picking the formation. He doesn't have a fucking clue. He has to go. It's getting too much now. I hate watching them now. You know, you talk about people saying, oh, it's okay for Maximum to be dropped. Is that really what Steve Bruce has got us feeling now?
Yeah, exactly.
Our biggest flair player has got to be dropped because he doesn't fit in at the team. Almiron's agent's come out twisting. You've got players apparently refusing the armband. So all these little bits starting to come in now. There's something fucking going on behind the scenes, because the 11 players I've seen on the pitch today do not look like they want to play for Steve Bruce anymore.
Yeah. Whilst we're on Bruce, I've got a bit off my chest in scoring the players, so I've kind of not calmed down a bit, because I'm still absolutely seething about what we've just witnessed over the past 2 weeks. You know, you wait 2 weeks for the international break, you're hoping for a reaction after that horror show at St Mary's, and then that comes out. How dare you, was the phrase I used in scoring the players, which you can go back and see if you haven't already, along with Lee's quick thoughts, obviously the last words to come. Let's just get a quick kind of, before we really go in on Steve Bruce, let's get a quick poll between the three of yous. Liam, are you Bruce in or Bruce out?
Definitely out.
Carl?
Out.
Adam?
No, he's got to go. He's fucking hopeless.
I'll drive up there and pick him up and drive him back down here and just drop him off in the middle of Lazelle's or something like that.
I'd never see him again. He's one of the worst Newcastle managers I've ever seen. One of the worst. And I know the club has people who go out on social media and see how fans feel. I hope they watch videos like this and everywhere else, because the fans have had enough now. And it's only because the fans aren't in the ground he's getting away with this now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what worries me and what will give Bruce more time is the fact that we're not in there having our voices heard, essentially. Can you imagine the atmosphere would have been toxic today at that full-time whistle? You'd have had Liam there swinging his dressing gown round, baying for blood. Adam, with 2 hours sleep from his newborn, would have been sat in Strawberry Corner in tears. Yeah. And me and Carl would already be back on the A1 southbound in sheer anger.
Sam, Adam made a good point. Sorry, when we were doing the watch along, though, because I asked, you know, if we're all there, it surely at some point, with how would be the toxicity he'd get for week upon week, surely at some point you'd think, I need to walk away from it all. And I thought, I asked Adam, do you think he would? Do you think he's that type of bloke? And he said, well, you know, it was at Villa and people were throwing cabbages at his head and he still carried on. So I don't think he gives a shit.
It's because if they resign, they don't get the pay package, so they need to be sacked and then they continue getting a pay package. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Football is better for you if you fail as a manager, because you still get paid.
That's true.
And the thing is, well, they're always too late to react. We saw that with Steve McLaren. He should have gone months before he actually did. I'm just sick of this same excuses every week and the same. I mean, his post-match quotes, Adam, you'd have to remind me of them all. But he was okay with our second half performance, did he say?
I've quickly checked on the Chronicle before I came on here. And it's not word for word, but he's pretty much said there was pleasing parts of the second half. And all he's done is praise, all he seems to have done, sorry, I haven't read it, is praise Chelsea. There's no acknowledgement of his own tactics, his own failings again. We're too predictable. I'm sick of saying the word predictable, but he's just absolutely just on a different planet. If he thinks he's doing a good job at Newcastle United, he claims to be a boyhood fan, a Newcastle lad. If you are, just walk away, mate. Just walk away. Yeah. Let someone else come in. You've had your time. It proved he couldn't get a Premier League job. He had to go and start his craft again at Chef Wed, and we were the only fucking ones who wanted to give him a chance. Just go and sit with Sam Allardyce on TalkSport on mornings. Just don't come back, mate.
It's pissing me off that it's really, really... The media haven't got the fucking bollocks to call him out on it. That's why he still gets away with it. Like, they're too bothered about the relationship they've got with the fucking club. Like, have a bit of credibility.
It's because he's really well respected as a football manager, so they don't want to like piss him off. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
So the things straight.
Well, this is what winds me up the most. Okay, he is actually well respected in the game, because he's been in the game 40 years.
None of us have not got respect for the bloke.
He's been in the game 40 years, absolutely superb centre back, one of the best around in his day. Been a manager for 20 years. Just over, and he's not learning from his previous defeat.
Yeah,
and he's got kept so it much exactly respect for him. That first half was exactly the same as how we finished against Southampton.
Yeah. You should like we praise him for what he's done in the game. We praise him when he has great games for us, and he needs to be called out on his crap. And the media don't do that. So when we do it, we're looked at to be deluded. It's bollocks. It's fucking bollocks.
He doesn't have great games. He has lucky games.
Well, you're right there, mate. But you know what I mean. What I mean.
Yeah, that is true. We did get away with it last season, but and there are lazy pundits out there that say he is doing a good job. He did a good job last season. He's not doing a good job now. No. He's no excuses anymore. No excuses anymore. This is his team. These are his players. These are his tactics. These are his formations. These are his systems. This is all him now, and it's not working.
He's been in charge of Newcastle the same amount of time Lampard has at Chelsea. Of course, Chelsea have had a lot more money to spend than us. No one's doubting that. They were better.
Well, they've also had a transfer ban.
Yeah, but you can tell Lampard's got a mark on his team how he wants them to play football. Whether they spent 100 million or 10 million, you can tell Chelsea are playing football in a specific way that Lampard wants them to. We are playing the football Sunderland did 10 years ago, and Aston Villa did 5 years ago, and Birmingham did 15 years ago. He's not changing. He's not adapting his game, his managerial game. And it's so easy. We as fans, Johnny in the pre-match said we're going to get beat 2-0 and they'll score an early goal. If us as fans can see that, fuck me, multi-million scouting teams are going to be able to just wrap. You know, I'm just fucking absolute beggar's belief how this man is stealing a living as Newcastle United manager now.
If we're honest between ourselves, do you think Frank Lampard would come in at Newcastle and get a tune out of the likes of Almiron, Maximan, Wilson? Who are they going to play better under, Bruce or Lampard?
Lampard, because I think he's got a sense of how to set a team up and how
exactly,
to tactic footballs. Like with Bruce, he just seems to just pick a team and just chuck them out. Hope it's 0-0 at 90 minutes and we'll get a lucky goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, we all know deep down that Bruce isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
No.
Let's say he did. Who comes in?
No one.
the obvious answer would be Eddie Howe, but I'm not sure that would be the right thing to do.
Yeah, we spoke about Gerrard, didn't we? We'd quite like to see someone like Gerrard.
I don't think Gerrard would come and work under Mike Ashley. He's got more ambition than that. But I'd love to see someone like Gerrard, but he wouldn't work under Mike Ashley. Gerrard wants to win trophies. Eddie Howe will be the easy choice. But I think Ashley's likely to go and look at a championship manager or someone if it's someone who's in the job. There was someone in the comments mentioned Graham Potter at Brighton. I'm not too sure on that, but
this is a bit of a curveball, but like I would probably take Richie Mee, you know, because I think like if they're playing crap, you would just end up punching them all hour. Do you know what I mean? Like you'd actually get the team fired up and actually want to go and play football and close them down, like and actually hit and the tackle like hit them hard.
Yeah. We need that, don't we? We do need that. That's gone from our game completely.
Yeah,
they were so off the pace today. I don't even think we got close to Candy.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so aimless and just. I mean, Jacob Murphy got placed in his more accustomed role in the attacking third on the right hand side. Carl. Did he have any effect on the game whatsoever?
I probably overscored him a little bit in scoring the players. I think that's more down to the fact that I want him to do well, and he's only one of few players at the moment that I feel want to play for the club, play for the shirt properly. But he had glimpses going forward, but he didn't set the world on fire, mate. No, not at all.
I think it's hard with Joe Linton up top.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, this is the thing. Did we have a shot on target today?
Do you class hitting the bar as on target? No.
Guess no. Andy Carroll had one right at the end. We got a corner from.
It got deflected, but that wasn't on target, though, was it?
Yeah, the keeper made the save, so I'm not sure. But if we're also four. Four of us are struggling to think of one.
Yeah.
So like Joe Linton on the edge of the box, time, space, could bring it down, get a shot away, but completely hashed it and wasn't even hitting it on target, just summed up our day. So Joe Linton not being able to get a shot on target, and it's not just Joe Linton, there were others. That Carroll chance, I mean, Sean Longstaff had a great effort, so that hit the bar, there's nothing wrong with that, but can you lay all the blame on Bruce, really? Or
yes.
For me, the effort of the players today was shocking. I mentioned it before. Some of them now look like, and I've never said this before, one thing I've credited Bruce with is that he does actually look like he's got the team behind him. That wasn't the case today. Fabian Schär came on at half time and he was absolutely disgusting. The way he was walking around that pitch, the second goal, he just let Werner run. So, not just him, but a couple of them, but he was the main one. He was not interested in tackling him. There was no tactical foul. You know, you take a yellow card for the team when you're under pressure. His body language was disgusting. Players like that shouldn't be wearing the black and white shirt. It looks like he's starting to lose the dressing room a bit, mate.
I think he's lost it.
I think he's lost it or he's losing it, definitely.
We're told he's a popular figure and he's a player's manager, good man management. Obviously, he's got to have some skills to be a manager for 20-plus years if tactics aren't your strong point. But, yeah, I actually thought Schär had a really good first 5 minutes of coming on. He was bringing the ball out, put some lovely ping passes, and then he made that real shit mistake that let Werner in, which should have been 2-0 then and there. And then that was it. He had a face on him. He needs a haircut because that man bun don't suit him. and it just went downhill from there. And as I touched upon earlier, Miggy came on just when Abraham made it 2-0 and just looked pissed off, which is very un-Miggy-like. Do you reckon there's some kind of bubbling undercurrent that, as we say, Liam, that he might have lost the dressing room a bit?
I thought Miggy did well when he came on.
Thing is, for me, though, he put Miggy on the right, which we know he can't play on the right. And at one point, sorry to cut you off, I've asked you a question and I've cut you off your answer. I will let you, but something's just come to my mind. When Carroll came on, at one point, I completely forgot to screenshot it, but at one point, Almiron was up top, Joe Linton was on the left, and that pacey winger, Andy Carroll, was on the right-hand side. What the hell is going on,
Liam? I think at one point Carroll was defending in the box. You know what I mean? I think he was that far back. I think for me, if you're an ambitious player, you're going to leave the club. If you look at ASM, Miggy, Callum Wilson, Ryan Fraser, they're not going to be here much longer. Like, if that's the way we're playing, ASM wants to probably play for the France team and go to the Euros and go to the World Cup in the next couple of years, and he's not going to get it in that team or under this manager. Like, Joe Linton, he's not a striker, and we've just hung him out to dry again. And I think Miggy probably does want to leave, because I would.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%.
I mean, ASM's just signed a new contract, hasn't he? Ryan Fraser, we've not seen anywhere near enough of. It's such a shame he's got injured, because he should have been in the team before it had got to that. But for me, it all comes down to the same thing, and that is the formation and how we set up to start a game. I just don't understand. He's gone back to five at the back, Adam.
Yeah.
Where it just seems like, I mean, I've always said, and I've been saying this for over a year now, that our squad is set up and our team should be set up for a 4-2-3-1. The argument was that we're not kind of good enough in a way, not defensively sound enough in a way to set up with four at the back, even though we did it on our first season back in the Premier League under Rafa with Lejeune and Lascelles, the two centre-backs. And yet we've defended like that with five at the back today. Just what is going on? What's changed?
Yeah, the team actually excites me. The players, sorry, not the team. But some of the players we've got excite me. Some of the players, you know, you've got your Hayden, we've got some strong centre-half, we've got pacey wingers. They're your fundamentals of a good counter-attacking team. I don't mind playing counter-attacking football. That's some of the most exciting football you can watch at times. But when you're just playing five at the back and allowing the team to pass for 90 minutes, there's nothing about it. He's he doesn't know his right formation. He's been in charge a year and a half now. Doesn't know his formation. Doesn't know where the best place to play players are. He's just all over the place. He really is. And I'd love to just see what's going on in his mind to be playing at Miggy and Maximum as defensive as he is when they are playing. When he could go and play some counter-attacking or attacking football. We're respecting too many teams now. And I said to Carl in the watch-along, teams like West Brom and Fulham, Villa coming up, they're going to look at us and go, we have to beat Newcastle, mind. We have to beat Newcastle, and they probably will.
What I will just say very briefly is credit to Steve Bruce's first team coach, Stephen Clements, who was still on the sidelines today despite the sad death of his father, Ray, earlier this week. Obviously, Ray Clements, England legend, and Steve and his son still at work. Yeah. And still there to see, putting graft and putting a shift in for Newcastle United. So our thoughts are with Stephen and his family. To get back to the point, where do we go from here, Carl? I mean, we've got Crystal Palace Friday night away from home, which isn't really an issue, I suppose, with how things are at the moment. What needs to change on the pitch?
On the pitch?
Everything.
Yeah, basically. Everything does need to change. If we're just looking at holding players accountable, let's not even bring Steve Bruce into the equation, then they need, whatever is going on, they need to be a bit more professional about it and forget about it whilst on the pitch and put everything that they've got into it. Because I know that can be tough, but as Adam said, there was a lot of players today that shouldn't be wearing the fucking shirt. And at some point, you do need to hold yourself accountable for that at some point, especially when you're on the money that you're on. But who are we to, I can't tell Alan St. Maximin to want to play football if he doesn't want to play football. So in answer to your question, mate, I really don't know. I don't know how you fix this.
See, for me, it just seems like we've got no leaders. Like, yeah. I think that team would be, like, if Richie was on that pitch of the day, we'd be screaming his head off and we heard none of it. We had barely any communications. If they walked in at 90 minutes and Richie was playing, he would try to scrap them all. Like, the captain should be going nuts. Like,
and my money would have been on Richie to win the scrap.
Yeah.
But you are right. You need players on there to be holding these players accountable that aren't doing their bit, don't you?
It's like I thought Carroll would have came on and then try to lead, because he does talk a lot when he's playing, but like even he just seems sick.
Yeah, there was a lot of that one there. So Palace on Friday night, Liam, how would you set the team out?
I'll probably go 5-3-2. I'll probably go Richie left wing back, Fernandez, Shaw and Clark in the middle, and then Mankio. And then in the middle would be Hayden and Shelby and Miggy, probably a bit further up than that. And then probably ASM and Wilson up top. Yeah, all good.
Adam, do you agree, disagree? How would you set it up?
No, I don't disagree there, but he needs to change something dramatically if he wants to keep his job. And I mean a complete change in tactics, a complete change in formation. I'd like to see us do something like 4-3-3. Maximum on the left, or Miggy on the left, Maximum on the right with Wilson. Something a bit more dangerous, a bit more attacking. It does leave us vulnerable to concede goals, I accept that. But we're fucking conceding goals with 5 at the back. Yeah. So just something different. I need to say, Bruce has lost me now, fuck me. He lost me after Southampton, but today was even worse. But we've got to change something. We've got to play to our strengths instead of playing other teams' strengths. Palace are a good team. Zahara always causes problems. They've got some strong midfielders. So if we're going to just set up the usual predictable stuff, I just think we're going to get beat again. So for me, he's got to do something different. Bring Miggy and Maximum into roles they're used to playing in, around Wilson, and just need to learn to pass the ball as well. Like, just
something need different. To learn how to keep the ball for a start.
Yeah.
Can't pass it if you haven't got it at your feet. Isaac Hayden came back in today, Carl, and he got his customary yellow card. do you think he made a difference in that midfield, or would it have mattered whether it had been Hayden, Hendrick, Shelvey, Longstaff? Did it just not matter?
No, I think he always makes a difference, whether it's obvious or not. I think he the way he plays football and the way he breaks up play, I think if Hendrick was in there, I think it could have been worse. And I don't want to, like, I'm not going to personally attack Hendrick. He's not as fit as Hayden. He's not as ball aware as Hayden. And I think it could have been worse if Hendrick was in there personally. And I think Adam talking about the 4-3-3, I wouldn't mind seeing that, because people have come out and said that we can't do that because we haven't got box-to-box midfielders. You're telling me that Isaac Hayden hasn't got enough of an engine to run for 60, 70 minutes between two boxes? Centre midfielder, a midfield position he's been playing his whole career and his whole life. And we can't play these formations because they're not good enough to do that. It's bollocks. I'm sick of it all. We've got enough cover as well.
Yeah, I'd like for us to sit here after the game and say we had 7 or 8 good chances, 7 or 8 shots. We're all sat here before. None of us can remember a shot target. He's got to change something to make us more offensive, because we're just going to... It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing now. I hate watching us now. He's the worst manager we've had. I hate watching us.
Some post-match quotes for you. Maybe in the first half, we were a little too deep at times. They're a very, very good side. And like I said, when you go high up the pitch, they can really hurt you. So yeah.
He's the manager. It's his job. It's his job to fucking set them up.
We were too deep, yet when you go high up the pitch, they can hurt you.
When were we sat high? When?
No, exactly.
Joe Linton defends more than he fucking attacks. And I've got no issue with him at all. But like, when were we high? When did we press high? We didn't.
To go on, he says, there will always be grumbles. We had some important players missing, but Chelsea are a very good team. Second half, there were one or two details. We had 3 good opportunities, and against the big teams, you've got to take them. I mean, he kind of has a point to an extent.
With chances, yeah, of course.
There were a couple of half chances on there, and the fact is, if you ain't even making the keeper work and putting them on target, that's not Steve Bruce's fault. That's down to the individual, isn't it?
It is. So, my argument on that, though, is why are you recruiting these players if they can't fucking shoot? In all fairness. But yeah. I do agree, you can't change that. You can't. And Longstaff was unlucky with that effort that's hit the bar. But does that really make a massive difference on the grand scheme of things that happen in the game? No. If that goes in, we're not going to go and get an equaliser.
Yeah. What I will say about Sean is he wasn't completely terrible today, and that was a good shot, but my word, can we get him off set pieces, please? We really need to get him off set pieces, because it's very apparent that he just can't do it. I mean, I like Sean Longstaff, and he is actually one of my more favourite players. But no, just no to set pieces. No, thank you. Just thank you, Sean, for your effort on taking the corner, but then required from now on. My word. I wouldn't mind seeing him more advanced in the 10 role. I mean, that was a cracking shot there at the bar, and I want to see more of him around the opposition box to get some shots in on target, which would be nice. But then that does leave this whole Miggy Almiron situation, which is kind of getting a bit uncomfortable and a bit awkward with his agent and Bruce and the player, Liam, isn't it?
Yeah, he's gone in January in my eyes, like...
Oh, I agree with him 100% on that. Yeah. I think he's gone.
You don't get your agent to come out if you don't want to move. It just seems like it's the Sissoko situation all over again.
I mean, say if Miggy goes, and you know what our recruitment's like, it takes us a year to sign a player where it takes other teams a week. Say if Miggy goes and we don't get a replacement in, that means Christian Atsu will be back in the 25-man squad, Adam. And I can't do that. I can't. No, I'm sorry. I no, I just can't do it.
The thing is, if Miggy goes, I've got no doubt he'll go and play in a more attacking team and probably do well. And knowing us, it's likely to be a loan. I can't see us selling him because we're going to get nowhere near the 20 million that we paid for him. So it's likely to be a loan, which we don't really benefit from. Probably get someone come in and on loan from someone else to replace him. I don't think they'll bring Atsu back in. I think Atsu will be away. I don't want Miggy to go, but his stats speak for themselves. He's not good enough in the Premier League at the minute.
That could be perceived as a tad harsh. Is he not good enough? Because he's not been in a team that plays to his strengths. And when he does play, he gets played out of position a lot of the time. So before the game, I made the comparison, not for the type of player he is, but to John Dahl Thomason, in a way that, good player, didn't show it at Newcastle, went on, left, and then went on and won freaking Champions Leagues. It would be no surprise to me if he pissed off to somewhere like Inter Milan.
Yeah.
Which are the teams that are, you know, rumoured to be interested in them in Atletico Madrid, and him to go and start being bloody brilliant and go on and win things. I think it all does boil down to the manager and how we set out play. Carl?
Yeah, I think me and Adam spoke about it. Florin Thauvin, prime example, went off, started doing bits. And Adam said himself, to be fair, that Miggy's a completely different player when he's in the Paraguay squad. Do you know what I mean? So a lot of it does boil down to what's going on in the club and the way he's being played in the system. But I'm the same as you. If he went off to another team, I think he'd set the world alight.
Yeah, and the fact that he didn't come home early, even though he was suspended for Paraguay's last game, doesn't sit right with me. There's definitely something going on. So,
it
absolutely does. So watch this space with that. There's something going on and something does need to change. Let's just, before we wrap up, I'll get a very quick prediction from the three of you about Friday night at Crystal Palace. Liam, do we see a reaction or is it going to be another crushing defeat?
It's either going to go two ways. You'll get lucky or it'll be the same performance again. I don't think it's going to be anything exceptional, so I'm going to get another defeat.
See, one performance like that is unacceptable. Two, as we've seen today, is just downright...
But it's not even two, though. Like, we played Newport in the cup and had to get take the pens. Like, we drew against Wolves in Washington. Like, we played against Manu Washington, Brighton Washington, Southampton. Like, it's just like an on running list now. I think I put it on one of the posts today, like after the match. This is like another one out of the list of embarrassing performances.
Yeah, of which there have been many in the past 18 months. Carl, prediction for Friday?
Well, another loss, and I'm going to put a hefty amount of money on Andros Townsend to score against us, probably.
Adam, where do you see it going?
I mean, I'd like to think myself, can it get any worse after Southampton and Chelsea? I mean, that's a loss to the law for me. We've been so bad. Can it get worse against Palace? I'd like to think not. I agree with the lads at Sahar, Townsend. They've got two good players, Palace. Are you? I'm sure they're the top six or seven at the minute, Palace as well.
Yeah.
No, I can't see us. I think we'll be a bit better, but I do think we'll get better.
Ah, oh, it's lovely being positive. It's another weekend ruined, isn't it?
We keep saying it, like we're sick of all the stuff about Steve Bruce. We're all sick of having to be negative on the channel.
I will just say this as well for any Chelsea fans that are who are watching, reveling in our grief. They're good side, Chelsea. They'll be fine for the title this season. Some really good spark. Good live wires in their squad, so I fully expect them to be challenging for the league title. I tipped them at the start of the season actually to win the league, but yeah, this is a game where they have a terrible record, so which is why we're focusing on more of the negatives and rather how good the opposition were. But hey ho. Okay, right, we've got the last word still to come. We had Lee's quick thoughts earlier and scoring the players. And of course, if you want to go back and watch the highlights of the watch along, there is that on NFTV Extra. This week, Carl, you have Geordie Overtime. How many are you doing this week?
Recording, could, depends on what you're doing. At least two. Otherwise,
I'm doing literally nothing until the second.
Recording three then at the moment. One will be out on Wednesday, I think. And then I'll probably put one out the week after. A couple of female Twitter personalities jumping on that have been on other channels as well, so should be good.
Very good. We'll look forward to that on Wednesday. Greenwood and Mulliner show. There's not one this week. We do have two guests booked in, though. Just none for this week. Although the Savannah Marshall podcast of the Greenwood and Mulliner show is out on Tuesday. That's available wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe and rate 5 stars. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your company this afternoon.
Pleasure. And
we'll reconvene on Friday evening on what would be hopefully better circumstances. So Lee and Johnny are coming up with the last word next. Stay tuned to NFTV.